It's time now to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. He joins us, of course, every Monday morning at this time. We rebroadcast Arthur also on the weekend and also during our noontime news hour. And, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can get Arthur anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, food maven. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Arthur Schwartz. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Could you hear me laughing through that introduction?
No, I couldn't. Why?
I mean, I'm available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, which is true.
You are.
I know. I keep spreading the news, but, you know, I'm not sure it's going that far.
You know,
as far as the media.
Oh, no, it goes farther than that. I'm telling you, Arthur, there's a couple of shows that if for some reason they don't get up on the podcast site through either technical difficulty or anything, emails start coming in. And your show
good.
Is...
And so maybe a few of those interested people would be interested to know that I am guiding a cruise next fall from Rome, although it's not really Rome because Rome is not a port. It's from Civitavecchia, the port of Rome, down the coast of southern Italy through all my territory to Sicily and then finally Malta. Well, I've never been to Malta. I only became interested in Malta when Pete Buttigieg started running for office, and it's a Maltese name. Anyway, that hasn't been advertised yet, so you all are in on it. You can, in fact, go, I don't know how you search, I guess you do New York Times Cruises, and you'll find it listed there on their website, but it has not been advertised yet. And it's a very, very small ship. It's the Ponant, P-O-N-A-N-T, French... I'm going to have to call it a yacht line because the ships only hold about 180 people as opposed to thousands on most cruises. Anyway, it's in October, which is the best time to go because right now in southern Italy, you're not getting the news like you're getting it from France, but it is sweltering. I'm sure it's almost 100, if not over 100, almost every day at this point. Of course, nobody in Europe works during August. So starting next weekend, the whole almost all of Europe will be going to the beach. And many of those beaches are in southern Italy. They have very nice beaches along the Salerno coast. Anyway, even in sweltering Amalfi, they're still eating tomato sauce in July because I have to say that tomatoes are one of the significant joys of a hot summer. And right now, at least around here, maybe next week but in Sharon, it's going to be peak tomato season. And I've already had some really sensational tomatoes. Footnote on heirloom tomatoes. When I was staying at my nephew's house, he bought some heirloom tomatoes for me to do whatever I was going to do with them. But truthfully, the only thing really to do with them is to eat them as soon as possible because they're heirloom for a reason. The reason nobody was growing them for the longest time is because they're very, very sensitive tomatoes. A little bruise turns into rot overnight. And they are thin-skinned very often and get bruised easily. And truth, you just got to eat them. So if you see some expensive heirloom tomatoes in the market, they may well be worth the money in flavor and succulence, but do just eat them as a salad. Pour a little olive oil and salt on them. That's all I need on my tomatoes. But even lesser tomatoes have been great in the last week or two. My market around the corner actually has a section with local produce. And I'm buying my local produce at the expensive supermarket at the same price or even cheaper, actually, in most cases, less expensive than the farmers are selling it direct to customers at the farmers market. So I'm blessed in that way. But there are plenty of tomatoes, probably even on your deck or in your backyard, if the deer didn't get them and the rabbits didn't get them, that are going to be sensational within the the next few days. So yesterday I couldn't resist these cherry tomatoes that I bought, and they really are the real cherry tomatoes, meaning the size of cherries and the shape of cherries, round, not so-called grape tomatoes or other small tomatoes. These are your old-fashioned cherry tomatoes. They really brought back memories, and I was just eating them as a snack. But last night I made a salad with them. But that's going to be my last raw tomato thing last night. I just, by the way, just halved the tomatoes and tossed them with oil and, well, first salt. I wanted to dry out some of the juices from these cherry tomatoes because I was putting it over dry bread, pane biscottato or freselle, whatever you want to call them. They're the rings that are split and then toasted again, and it's hardtack. And what you do is you soak them for literally seconds. I did mine for about 15 seconds each in cold, salty water. And then you put them on a platter, and you put the tomato salad on top. But the tomato salad should be juicy enough so some of those juices get into the bread also. Anyway, I just have them, toss them with basil and a minced clove of garlic, and salt and oil, and I don't put vinegar on, but I did put a dash of vinegar on the freselle, a little oil and vinegar on there too, and that was it. It was and a can of tuna. I tossed the tomatoes with tuna, but really, you know, the healthiest way to eat tomatoes is cooked, and I'll never forget this. This has got to be at least 25 years ago. I was sitting at a cafe on the Upper West Side with a woman I had just been introduced to. She was from the Amalfi Coast, and her son was living in New York, and she was visiting him. And I don't remember what mutual friend we had that put us together, but I went up to the Upper West Side where she was staying, and I to have a coffee with her. And we're sitting outside in 100-degree horrible New York heat and humidity in August, early August, and I said to her, well, if you were home right now, what would you be eating? And without a thought, because I'm thinking it's too hot to even drink a coffee. You know, I want iced coffee, but I'm trying to be really Italian, so I didn't order iced coffee, which is a totally American thing. But anyway, they do have iced coffee in Italy, but it's not the same thing. Anyway, without thinking, she said, paccheri with tomato sauce, ricotta, and a lot of torn basil. And I learned soon after that this is an incredibly standard dish in Campania, meaning in Naples, Amalfi Coast, Salerno. And paccheri are the largest tubular pasta. That is, by the way, a Neapolitan dialect word, a little etymology here, which means slapped. S-L-A-P-P-E-D, slapped, or slaps, and it comes from, I thought about this for a long time until I had this revelation, that because there was an Austrian occupation of Naples at hundreds of years ago, many hundreds of years ago, but still there's a residual in the language, and the word paccheri is related to patch. And that's Yiddish, maybe, I don't know what the German equivalent is. Patsch, you know, like a slap on the, in tuchus, on the tushy.
Yep.
And, you know, I grew up, and if you're not careful, your grandmother would say, I'll give you a patsch in tuchus if you're not a good boy. So it comes from the same word. In Italian, the word is schiaffoni, and that's a plural with an I at the end. And schiaffoni also means slapped in Italian. And on the packages of paccheri, or also called schiaffoni, you'll see both words, sometimes both on the same label, but usually one or the other. Interesting, when I first heard about paccheri in the early 90s, you could not buy them in New York, anywhere. And I used to carry them home in my suitcase. I mean, I'm weird. I carry pasta in my suitcase. Well, these days, now that they weigh the suitcases, I'm more careful about what I'm bringing back. And the fact is, there's almost nothing, no shape or brand that I can't buy in New York these days. And paccheri, years ago, became a relatively available product, and even in supermarkets, I see at least in New York City supermarkets, I often see Pocketty or Skeffoni. And I love these very large tubes for many things. What I first learned to cook with them was, in fact, a dish from the town of Amalfi, and it's a seafood, it's not a stew, but it's seafood in a little tomato sauce with Pocketty. Because Pocketty is so big, you want something big with them. Except in this case, this is the exception to having chunky food with Pocketty. And what it is just plain tomato sauce blended with ricotta and a lot of turmeric basil, as my friend Laura said. So I used to teach this in my cooking classes because it's one of the many uses of, and really a great use, and it doesn't, by the way, have to be summer for you to make it, for a plain tomato sauce, meaning a sauce either made with fresh tomatoes or canned tomatoes. The technique is the same, quick cooking. No, it's a fallacy that you need to cook tomato sauce a long time. What people are thinking about when they cook sauce for or gravy, as it's called, for a long time, is meat sauce. Gravy is a meat sauce. And in that case, you want the meat element to cook a long time, not only to get tender and done, but also to give off flavor to the tomatoes. The tomatoes are just a medium for absorption of meat flavor. But in the case of plain tomato sauce, it's the tomatoes that you want to taste. And as I've said many, many times, it can go either garlic way or onion way. In Campania and in general in the south of Italy, they don't often combine the two together in the same dish. So the rule is, and a rule that's made to be broken, is that if you're having your tomato sauce just plain as tomato sauce, usually you'd make it with onion and basil, as I'm going to tell you how in a minute. And if you're making it with seafood, you would use garlic and parsley. And that's pretty much the only difference between the two kinds of tomato sauce. Both of them are very quick. Not so much a footnote as a little other etymological thing, trivia, maybe not so trivial. It often is called, this quick cooked tomato sauce is by some people called shue shue, which is a Neapolitan dialect for hurry hurry, because it is quick cooked sauce. However, shue shue has different meanings to different people, and the first rule of any southern Italian meal is have an argument over it.
Sounds like my grandmother's.
After eating and sex, arguing is the favorite indoor sport of most southern Italians.
I don't know.
And even when they agree.
Hungarian women, my grandmother and her sisters, when they were in the kitchen together, it was like a fist fight.
Well, they were competitive.
Yeah.
I know these Hungarian women. They were very competitive. It's something else with Neapolitans, and it's not just the women. So I always recall this, when I talk about this, I recall this story, I don't know how many years ago, but I was being entertained in a town near Benevento, which is the northern end of Campania. I was being entertained by a family of a friend here in New York, and they were so gracious. It was basically what we would call an apartment house, but all the apartments were lived in by family members. Three generations lived in this palazzo. And when I came to dinner, all three generations showed up, including the youngest generation, which was younger than me even, but like college age. And every time I asked how a dish was made, and by the way, all these women and one man cooked together to make this feast, and every time I would say, well, how did you make this, and what did you, blah, 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 they would have an argument over it. Until finally we get to the coffee, and the student generation that was sitting next to me, who spoke perfect English, said, please, don't ask them how they make coffee, because they'll argue over about that, too. So, you know, everybody does shoe-way-shoe-way a different way. But I have a recipe in Naples at Table that I got from actually a New Yorker from Capri. But then I went to Capri, and I cooked with his sister, who owns a restaurant on Capri. And I perfected this. But now that I look at the recipe, because I'm going to make it today, now that I look at the recipe for this shoe-way-shoe-way, I'm going to change it from Naples at Table, which, after all, was written over 20 years ago. It was published over 20 years ago. And this shoe-way-shoe-way is made with cherry tomatoes. So I'm going to take a whole slightly overflowing box of pint box of cherry tomatoes and cut them in half. And by the way, in this case, shoe-way-shoe-way really can be made super fast for a hot day by half-cooking the tomatoes and a little bit more than half-cooking the pasta, and then combining the not-really-cooked pasta with the tomatoes and some of the pasta cooking water, and finishing the pasta with the tomatoes. So you have reduced the overall cooking time, shoe-way-shoe-way, hurry-hurry, by not cooking the pasta fully. And by the way, also not steaming up your kitchen fully. So for a pint of tomatoes, and this is a garlic sauce, I would cook at least 2 cloves of garlic. And the way I cook them these days is I either squash them with the palm of my hand, well, this is very Neapolitan, or with the side of a knife, but not too smashy. You don't want them to fall apart. And cook it very, very slowly. This is the only part that's slow, in olive oil. If you want to make it fast, chop your garlic, put it in the oil, and after just literally 1 minute over medium heat, add your halved cherry tomatoes and immediately cover the pan. And after about 5 minutes, your tomatoes will be cooked enough. You can shut the heat off if you want. You can actually do that in the morning and come back to it later on. And then cook your pasta at least halfway, maybe a little bit more. Depends on the pasta. This is very good with spaghetti. I like spaghetti here. And then you cook the pasta, drain it, but reserve at least a cup, maybe even more than a cup, of the starchy pasta cooking water. Add your pasta, your drained pasta, to the pan with the tomatoes. Add about a cup of the pasta cooking water, and continue to cook the pasta until it's done. And really, it absorbs a lot of tomato flavor. Oh, and the essential thing is throw in a lot of torn basil at the end. And this is a really delicious, as is shoe-way-shoe-way. But my basic tomato sauce, I really make it mostly with canned tomatoes, but this time of the year it's irresistible to make it with vine-ripened tomatoes. But they cook very fast. Whereas tomatoes, canned tomatoes, I do 12 to 15 minutes. Sometimes you can do 10 minutes with a fresh tomato, and it'll turn into saucy enough sauce. So, again, you cook the garlic until, if you're using garlic, you cook the garlic until it's fragrant, and then throw in all your diced tomatoes with whatever juice. By the way, if you're using what I call salad tomatoes, round tomatoes, you're going to end up with an awful lot of liquid. So I would juice them because, and if you want to peel them, you can go ahead and peel them too. I'm over that. If I'm having fancy company, I'll peel the tomatoes. But mostly I say, oh, good fiber. But the fact is, if you put all those seeds and juice in from a juicy salad tomato, you're going to end up cooking the tomatoes longer than you really want to. You could strain those seeds and juice and then throw it back in, if as you see, if they're not too juicy. And that's sort of it. If you're doing the onion sauce, a half of a small onion is enough for 2 pounds of, let's say, plum tomatoes. And I do, in fact, peel my plum tomatoes very frequently, more often than I would do juice, you know, salad tomatoes. And they have very little juice or pulp, so it's okay to not juice them. If you're an old-fashioned Neapolitan cook, you probably would take your forefinger and strip out the seeds and juice from every tomato, and you would also probably peel the tomatoes. You know, to do that, you just plunge them into boiling water for a minute, and as soon as they cool down enough to handle, the skin should slip off easily. So that's it for tomato sauce, really. And if you make a nice fresh tomato sauce, especially I like it with onion, use a lot of basil. This time of year, it's plentiful. And if you toss that with, I wouldn't say equal amounts. I would say for maybe for 2 cups of tomato sauce, 1 cup of ricotta, and blend that together with as much torn basil as you have the patience to tear and or have or can spare. And that's it. Salt, and you can serve that. And you mush it up together. By the way, even though Italians very often, not altogether, disdain, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, macaroni salad or pasta salad, they'll eat this at room temperature. So, you know, you can make your tomato sauce in the morning, and then when you're ready to serve, blend it into the ricotta with the basil and, of course, a little salt and pepper, and you can serve that with grated cheese if you like, or you can blend in the grated cheese. And in that case, I sort of like to do the blending when the sauce is still hot. And of course, it's a warm dish. If you stir in even room temperature ricotta into hot tomato sauce, it's still just a warm dish. And pacchetti is not the only pasta that this goes with. You know, just rigatoni is perfect. I don't like a long pasta like spaghetti or linguine so much with this, or even bucatini, although bucatini is okay. I prefer a pasta with a hole, tubular pasta, even ziti or penne. But it's a great summer dish. And by the way, in the winter, I have been known to bake this. Beat one egg into a couple of cups of this sauce, and you can layer it in a pan with torn basil. But also, if you want to add mozzarella or some other good melting cheese, it makes a very good baked pasta. Too hot to turn the oven on for that today. So there I am with my tomatoes. I have a lot of tomatoes. I like looking at the tomatoes.
I do too. It's very. I don't know. There is something. It's very, very July, August.
It is. Well, that's the only time of the year they really. Well, September.
Well, yeah,
you can get great tomatoes.
It's just when you walk in and there's just this explosion of red.
Yeah. No, and also I must say I've been paying very little, I think, for tomatoes this season, and they've been very good. And I guess it's because I'm not being disappointed by farmers.
Well, that's
who knows who
good.
The farmers are when they just say local produce at the supermarket.
I know.
By the way, I think most supermarkets these days in the summer, wherever there's any local agriculture, are trying to be helpful and serve their customers well by offering local produce, but including local fruit. We've been getting actually pretty nice peaches and nectarines from New Jersey. I'm not sure they go up as far north as you, but Jersey over the years has become a big fruit state.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In fact, I have a ripe peach to cut into my breakfast cereal this morning.
Where specifically do you?
I guess South Jersey. I mean, I don't ask.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's enough that they label it New Jersey peaches.
Passaic peaches.
It's, you know, I don't
Patterson
really care what
peaches.
Part of the state it's from, but I'm sure it's South Jersey, because northern Jersey. Well, I'm sure there are plenty of fruit trees in northern New Jersey, but I'm not sure there's any commercial fruit production in the north, which is basically, you know, I always joke that most of New Jersey is central New Jersey. At least if you ask people, where do you come from in New Jersey, they say, oh, central New Jersey. And nobody or hardly anybody ever says South Jersey, because then you would sound like a hick. And nobody says North Jersey, because then you would sound pretentious. They say Bergen County. That's the code.
Right.
For I'm rich.
We have to.
But embarrassed that I am.
We, you know, I think we should write a code book at some point. A lot of people are missing the code.
Oh, well. There's a lot of code dissection going on this morning on TV.
Oh, really? Yeah. But,
I mean, the decoding.
I don't know. Did you read Maureen Dowd's thing
yesterday?
I did. Oh, read it.
I didn't.
I'm sorry. It cracked me up.
Well, she irritates me, got to say.
Sometimes.
So depends on the Sunday.
Right.
I can avoid her.
Okay, well.
Because I'm already irritated enough.
Speaking of code, okay.
Irritated by the, you know, I think she's on the same political spectrum as I am.
Oh, she is.
But that doesn't make her less irritating.
No question. All right, well, tomatoes and politics. No, thank you very much. Just tomatoes.
Well, I'm trying to focus more on food.
Yeah.
Because I think I've said this before on the air, but I've become my grandfather, who after he retired at age 87, became obsessed with politics until he died.
Oh, really?
I don't know what he would be like if he lived in the age of cable news.
Yeah.
But I do. I mean, he read every paper in the city. In those days, there were at least three, if not four, papers.
But, you know, reading a paper and getting information that way instead of watching people yammer at you and Marshall saying, I got to go. So that means
you've
got to go,
too. Yeah, I know. I looked at the clock, and it's exactly 8 o'clock, folks.
You nailed it.
Have a great week.
You too.
Stay cool.
Trying.
Eat tomatoes.
Okay.
And melon. I've been getting the best and cheapest cantaloupes. Unbelievable. $3 for $5.
To be continued.
Couldn't resist. And they were really good. What?
I said to be continued.
Yes. Next week.
Okay.
Take care, everybody.
Take care, Arthur. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can find Arthur also at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.